But the Bichas Aviyem, the Bichas HaMakov. HaMakov, the Yima Zedin, it came by HaKadosh Baruch. HaKadosh Baruch doesn't have a body. And even according to those who shine, who thought that HaKadosh Baruch has a body, but you can't get a fight with him. He's very far away. Okay. He simply doesn't have a body. So by HaMakov, you know, Iyapshe, either because he has no body, or by Ad Yishlamet, because you can't reach him, so you can't start off with him. Rashi doesn't say which way. He just says it just can't be. Chut, what does Rashi say? Vada b'hakor iyapshe l'hakisha. There's no hekish. Ein hakor klapi maila. It doesn't say because he has no body, or because he can't reach him. They have a whole discussion whether Rashi thinks that the Ribbono Shel Olam had a body or not. The Rambam says anyone who thinks that Hashem has a body is an apikoros. It's one of the Yud Gimel Ikoi Hamunah. And the Raivin in Hilchas Tshuva, where the Rambam lists off all the apikoros Mahadina Ka'akum, so the Raivin writes, Ahasoge, why does he say that whatever, Ein lo chelek alam haba, why should he deserve such a punishment? He says there were tzaddikim who were greater than the Rambam who thought that God had a body. The Rabbi thinks he doesn't have a body, but the Rabbi thinks it's not right to consider them, to punish them, because it's not their fault. They were misled by the psukim and by the agodas. That's how the Rabbi writes. By the agodas, hamshapshes es hadas. The agadatas that mislead people into believing that God really does have a body. So the Rabbi also agrees God doesn't have a body. So some, they keep on writing essays. What does Rashi think? Anyway, this Rashi can't tell. Doesn't make a difference. Today it's generally assumed that God does not have a body. Originally, when they put the Rambam Svarim in Chayram and they were burning them on the Bucham, it's because he said God doesn't have a body. He said the Rambam is an apikoros. It's against the Pasuk in Chumash. Yad Hashem, Af Hashem, Hadoim Ragloi. The Rambam is against all the Pesukim in Tanakh. So that's originally why they asked the Moran Nebuchim and they burnt the Mishneh Torah and everything, because they believe that God does have a body. Nunu, and now it's accepted like the Rambam. We assume God does not have a body. So the Gemara says, you see that there are comparisons between HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch made a comparison. Kibbut Aviyem is Hishva, Kvod HaMokam, and Moira, and Mekalo, v'chein b'din shal shlosh m'shut v'm botan, rabbonosh, shlosh m'shut v'm hein bonim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'ovi v'imoy. Yeah, the Gemara in Nida, where this appears, Nida, where is it? Daf Lamed Aleph. So then the Gemara spells out, shlosh m'shut v'm yesh b'yodom, what parts of the body come from the father, what parts of the body come from the mother, and what comes, the neshama comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara has there, what part comes from the mother, the blood comes from the mother. So this is, it's Eliezer has a couple of difficult tshuvas. Rabbi Tendler especially doesn't care for the tshuvas. It's Eliezer, a couple of strange tshuvas. So one of the strange tshuvas is there was a dintur in Eretz Yisrael. A man didn't want to support his wife's child. He said it's not his child. So they were going to prove one way or the other based on blood testing. So the Tzitz Eliezer said, how can you prove who the father is based on the blood? It's against the Gemara. What the doctors say, that you can tell by the blood type whether this is the father, it's against the Gemara. The Gemara says there in need, shlosha shut from yesh ba'adam, the blood comes from the mother. It doesn't come from the father. So the scientists are all against. So Rav Herzog was the chief rabbi at that time. So he wrote a whole nasty letter. They didn't publicize the letter till way after Rav Herzog passed away and Tzitz Eliezer passed away. So then they publicized the letter that he said, that's ridiculous. What do you mean? Everybody knows that the blood type, this is Mekubal in the world of science already for so many years. It's not that they just came upon this idea yesterday and they may back out. It's accepted for many years already. He makes fun. He says, you're like... the ostrich sticks its head in the sand. So he says, the Tzitz Eliezer sticks his head in the sand. The whole world of science is marching ahead, progressing. And the Tzitz Eliezer just sticks with the Gemara, and he learns the Gemara literally. The blood comes from the mother, and you can't tell by the blood type who the father is. He said, that's ridiculous. Of course we accept science. The Gemara was accepting all the science. They were on the cutting edge of science. They themselves didn't know about medicine and science. They listened to the Goyisha doctors and the Goyisha scientists of their generation. We should do the same. Rav Soloveitchik once spoke at a Chag HaSmicha. He always spoke at a Chag HaSmicha. Every time there was a different theme, he used to give a major talk, not 7 minutes. They gave me 7 minutes, 9 minutes, something like that. So then she would talk for more than an hour, give a whole drasha. So one of the Chagei Hasmicha, so the theme that he was developing was that the Rabbanim shouldn't rush to change the dinim based on science. The Torah is going to be around for a long, long time, and the scientists may change their mind in the next 10 years. But that's where Rav Herzog said, this issue of the blood type, that you can tell based on the father and the mother's blood type, this has been around for a long, long time. They haven't changed their minds. We assume that it is correct. So it's not to be taken literally when the Gemara makes a statement about something like that, the blood comes from the father, even if it is to be taken literally. That's what the doctors thought in the days of the Gemara. The doctors think differently. Just like they follow the doctors of their generation, we should follow the doctors of our generation. So that's what the Gemara says. Shlosh shud from heim barom kadosh bochum yavim v'zman shodem v'chabed esov v'asim v'amar kadosh bochum alam ne'aleim. I consider it k'nedayt v'neim v'chidunim. The same thing the Gemara has on the top of the next daf. V'zman shodem, about seven lines from the top. V'zman shodem etzayr esov v'asim v'amar kadosh bochum yof ha'sisu shaloy dayt v'neim ilmali dayt v'neim tziaruni. It would have been mevazami as well. So that's what led this Loshana Gemara. Malan Yalem Kilo Darte Beinem, Malan Akilu, Ilo Darte Beinem. So that's what led to Minchas Chinuch to raise his suffix. But the Kibbut Aviyem is Ben Adam Lamokim. It's really an indirect way to show Kobot HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or is it really Ben Adam Lachaber? Because the Loshana Gemara, Malan Yalem Kilo Darte, sounds like it's really Ben Adam Lamokim. Or maybe not so. Maybe this is an additional aspect of the Ikar, it's really a Bein Ol Machaber. So that was the Diyun of the Minchas Chinuch. Then the Gemara has on the last line, Tanya Rabbi Yamigoli V'yadu Lefnei Mishama V'hoi Ho'ilum Shebein Mechaber Esima Yosem Yoviv. Why? Because the mother deals softly with the Shem Shadlosa B'dvarm Shadalta B'dvarm V'chichik Tema Kodesh Baruch Hu Kibarav L'kiburim. We go to do if they misham of ha'olam shabem misiyar miyaviv yosem imam neisham alam the Torah. When the father teaches the child Torah, has to be strict. That's what it sounds like in the Gemara. So the son is going to have more moira av than he's going to have moira aim. V'chachik ma'kodesh brocha moira aim la moira av to emphasize that. Rav Soloveitchik has in one of the published essays, why does he use the lashon golu yadul if they misham of ha'olam? She said golu yadul if ne'akodesh brochu. Why did they choose such an expression here? So he thought perhaps you have to check through Shas to see if this is accurate. He made a suggestion. Maybe Mishama Vahaya Hoyla means Gola Biyadua, that this is a fact in Teva Ha'olam. Gola Biyadua Nishama Vahaya Ha'olam. Gola Biyadua Fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's talking about a din. He's talking about a psychological fact that the children love the mother more than the father, and the children have pachat from the father more than the mother. So this is a psychological fact. This was the way the Rebbeinu Shlom created the world like that. So that's why the Gemara uses a lashon golu v'adulav nemishama v'hoi ha'olam. This is built into the teva ha'olam like that. So the Torah emphasizes each case, emphasizes the father and the mother when you think where it needs emphasis. Because by moira, the child is going to have moira from the father, so the Torah emphasizes the mother. Ishim of Yavatiro. The Torah emphasizes by kibud. The Torah emphasizes the father because the child is going to give kibud to the mother. What's the definition of kibud and moira? So that's on the next daf, on the bottom of Lamed Aleph on the base, the last three lines. Tana Rabbana says that the source is the Torah's Kohanim and Parshas Kedoshim. Tana Rabbana Nezel Moira Vezel Kibud. Moira. Let's do kibud. Kibud is the last line. Kibud, machal amashke malbish and machasa machnes and moitzi. It means physical assistance. The children have to help out the parents. Machal amashke malbish and machasa and so on. What is moira? Moira is respect. Moira is what we would call kibud. Respect. So that's what the Gemara said, that's moira. And kibud really is physical service. The children should give physical service to the parents. That's the question the Gemara has on the second wide line on Lamed Aleph on the base. Tana Rabbana Mechabda Bechai Mechabda Lach Amoso. The din of Kovid even applies even after the parents die. So Rav Soloveitchik raised a simple question. If Kovid means physical assistance, how can you give physical assistance after the parents are dead already? Machal Amashkem Malbush and Mechas Machnas Motzi only applies while he's alive. So Rasul Echi thought that it was Labdavke. When it says Mechabda Mechai Mechabda Lachamos, it goes on Mora. Doesn't go on Kobe. Shouldn't refer to your father, even after he died, shouldn't refer to him by his first name. It should be respectful. So it really means Mora. So I remember this was a shir that he gave for the rabbinic alumni, not for the Talmidim in the yeshiva. So one of the people, the rabbinic alumni, screamed out, oh, but in the Tosis we have Zokin, it says Mechabda Mechaim, Mechabda Lachamos, it says Mechabda. So he screamed back, it says that in the Gemara also. What did you discover in the Ri'a Zokin? The Gemara says Mechabda Lachamos. He thought that it's Labdavke. Even though it says Mechabda Lachamos, it's Labdavke. So whatever it means in the Gemara, that's what it means in the Ri'a Zokin. He's just quoting the Loshan HaGemara. I don't know what the guy had a Habamina. They ask, the question is that really so? That Mechabda Lachamos really means Moira, doesn't mean Kovet. The Gemara gives an example. What do you have, Mechabda Lachamos? The Moso Ketzad, what is that? The fifth wide line. The Moso Ketzad, then you have the tiny letter, what is it, a hey or a ches? I'm not sure. Tiny letter. Hoyoyme Dvarshmo Mipiv Mayem Mechachama Abba. So you say, you should say, Abba Mori, my father, my Rebbe. Oh, okay, that's Moira. That's respect. That's not Kovod means physical assistance. And Moira means respect. So you shouldn't call him Abba, you should call him Abba Mori. And then, Hareni Kaporas Mishkovoi, what does that mean? Rashi writes, Ola Yavo Kol Ra Haroi Lavoi Al Nafshoi. And then the Gemara says that it's only within Yud Beis Chodesh. I mean, B'toch Shnei Masa Chodesh. Kav Yelach, I mean, Zechon Elavrach, Elachai Ho'olam Abba. Why does it change after Yud Beis Chodesh? Because the Gemara says in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, in the first Perek, Mishpat Rosh Hashanah, the Gehenim, Yud Beis Chodesh. The maximum anybody suffers in Gehenim is Yud Beis Chodesh. That's how the Gemara understood. The maximum anybody ever suffers. The Dor Ha Mabul was punished for Yud Beis Chodesh from the beginning to the end. And the Esa Makas, the Medrash says, was also, there were 10 Makas, but it was spread out over Yud Beis Chodesh. So that's the maximum punishment anybody can get. So that's why the minig is, where does the minig come from that we recite Kaddish? So the Beis Yosef and Yeruday Simen Shinai involved quotes from that passage from the Zohar that so I think someone had a dream that he saw someone was dead and he was suffering Gehenim. And because of the Maisim Tovim that he did during his lifetime, so he was being punished in Gehenna. And in the dream, he asked the person, what can anybody do in order to spare you this suffering? So he said, if the son will say Kaddish, he'll be paid to the father from Gehenna. So the idea, and then, so, but it can only suffer in Gehenna, Yud Beis Chodesh, the maximum, the biggest Rosh in the world suffers is only Yud Beis Chodesh. That's the Gemara in the first Perek Rosh Hashanah. So that's why the Rama says that the minig is that we say Kaddish to be paid in case a parent died, to be paid to them from Gehenna. But you don't say Kaddish 12 months to imply as if the parents deserve the maximum punishment. My parents were nice people. I wasn't so makbid on the Kaddish. Every time I went to Eretz Yisrael, I wasn't interested in making a minyan over there on the plane. I wasn't interested in making a minyan. I miss Kaddish a lot. My parents didn't need it. They weren't Rishot. They're not going to suffer again. Okay. So what if Taka, the person who died, is Yodu as a Rasha? Okay. So then you should Taka say Yud Beis Chodesh. He may be suffering Yud Beis Chodesh. Or if he's saying Kaddish to someone else, not saying Kaddish to a parent. So they recommend you should Taka say Yud Beis Chodesh to be put in from Gehenna. But the child shouldn't say Kaddish. You should only say Kaddish for 11 months, shouldn't say in the 12th month, not to imply as if the parents are going to get the maximum suffering. There were big tzaddikim who passed away in Europe years ago, and they used to leave tzavua. They were a big rabban, they left the tzavua. They wanted the children to say Kaddish the whole Yid Beis Chodesh. It's a little strange, what do you mean? They were moichem on the cover, they said they feel they need the Kaddish the whole Yid Beis Chodesh. So if the father said he wants it, okay, so you say Yid Beis Chodesh. So, what does it mean over here? Rashi says, Hareni kaporas mishkovoi, Ola yavo, I accept upon myself, kol ra, haroi lavoi, al nafsho. My father is going to be suffering Gehenim up until Yud Beis Chodesh. I accept upon myself, instead of punishing my father, they should punish me. So it's surprising that such a concept exists. It's in the Tale of Two Cities like that, no? I forgot already what the story is, but I think he's mekabla on himself, the einish that should be roi for the other person. Is that in Min HaShemayim, they do that? That's it. I'm a holy tzaddik, and the other one is a Rosh HaMerusha, my father is a Rosh HaMerusha, and I accept upon myself the punishment. They shouldn't give it to him. So why should they listen, Min HaShemayim? I don't know, but that's what Rashi interprets over here. And it says the same in the Mishnah in the second Perek in Sanhedrin, when they go to be Menachem Ovel by the Kohen Gadol, or they go to be Menachem Ovel by the Melech. So it says they accept, they say, Hareni Kaporis Mishkavchem. I accept upon myself the Zechi of Kiburav. So the son has to accept upon himself any punishment that the father may deserve in Gehenim. They should give it to me instead of my father. It's a chiddush that the Bezal Shalmaila will listen. And it's a chiddush that is mechuyev to do that it works. The whole thing is a chiddush. So that's included in kibud, in kiburav. So in kvod hamelach, in kvod kohen gadol, so they say as well, the kohen gadol sitting shiva. So we're supposed to say, any suffering that you deserve, we accept it upon ourselves. The kohen gadol is alive, and the melach is alive, but he's sitting shiva, so tragedy occurred in the family. So the living people, out of respect, out of the covet for the kohen gadol and melach, supposed to say, we accept upon ourselves the einish, instead of it becoming falling on you, it should fall on us.
Can I explain in Rashi that this is an example of covet because you're accepting yourself something physical?
Yeah, so that's what I was going to say, Rav. So they chikdor mechabda lahamosa is labdavke really means moro, but it could be that he's lightening the suffering of the father. The soul of the father is going to burn in Gehenim, so the son has to accept upon himself. So maybe that's some kind of a physical thing, physical service. That's exactly it. It could be that mechabda lahamosa means covet. Means covered, doesn't mean moira.
I hardly ever hear it. I, at least I'm checking for myself.
Yeah, people rarely say, Hareni kaporis mishkova. Yeah. I think in Shulchan Aruch they say, I don't know why, they say it's only if he's saying over dvar shmua mipiv, saying over a dvar Torah that he heard from the father. If he's saying over stam, my father used to say, and he says a joke or something, heard from my father, and it's not a dvar halacha, so then you don't say Hareni kaporis mishkova. Why? Why should it be so? I don't know. That's, I think in the everyday it says like that. You only say Hareini Kaparas Mishkava saying over Dvar Torah. In writing, that's 2 days in Shulchan Aruch. What if a person is writing a sefer, and then he's quoting his father, and he's writing the sefer within Yud Beis Chodesh, but the sefer is going to be printed, it's going to be read centuries later. The Shach in Yeridea quotes his father, so he says, Adoni Avi Hei Chof Mem. So one of the boys was reading, Rabbi Soloveitchik always called on the students to read. So the boy was reading, he says, Adoni Avi HaKesef Mishnah. So he said, what? Kesef Mishnah was the father of the Shach? How can it be? What do you mean? They didn't live in the same generation. How can it be? He couldn't figure out what Heichof Mem was. So Heichof Mem, so he wrote it within Yud Beis Chodesh, Hareini Kaparas Mishkava. So that's a machloikis in the Yerideya. If you're writing a sefer and the sefer is going to be read way after Yud Beis Chodesh, it doesn't make sense to write. So the Shach, so the Ramah writes that the minig is that yes, minig is that you do say, you do write Heichof Mem, even though the sefer is going to be read after Yud Beis Chodesh. I don't know why they say you only say Hareini Kaparas Mishkava. You're saying over Divrei Torah. When you say Adoni Ovi Mori. That's Moira, that's respect, that's not the covet, that's Moira. And when you say Zechroina Levrocha Lachai Hoelam Abo, that's out of respect. That's out of respect, that's Moira, okay. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik said, that most of the time it's Moira. Could be Hareini Kaparas Mishkav, it could be that that's covet, that's like physical service. He's lightening the burden of the neshama of the father in Gehenna. Yeah. Then the Gemara has an interesting idea about 10 lines from the top of Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph. That's where we left off. Amar Rabbi Yitzchok, Kol Oiver Aveira B'Seser, person does an Aveira, he doesn't make a Chil Hashem. No one sees what he's doing. Ki D'Dechek Ragle Hashchina. Why? Shenema. Hashamayim kisi v'ho'oretz hadom ragloi. The whole earth is my footrest. So if the person is doing averis, b'seiser, he acts as if the Rebbeinu Shalom is not there. But the Rebbe Shlomo is all over. Haaretz Adam Ragloi. So he's pushing the Rebbe Shlomo wants to stretch out his legs. So you're chasing him away. Whenever you do an Aveira, you do a Chilul Hashem. You chase away the Cholol. The Rabbi Chaim Volozhin explained, Cholol means an empty space. Vacuum is a Cholol. So whenever a person does an Aveira, he's chasing away the Shechina. He's acting as if the Rebbe Shlomo is not here. And the Rebbe Shlomo doesn't want to be there. He says, I don't want to be in the same place as this person. So whenever a person does an Aveira, is kida dechik ragla shchina. The shchina wants to stretch its legs out, derech moshel, or it's hadom ragloi, and he's chasing away the shchina. So he's dechik ragla shchina. Rav Shlom doesn't have a footrest to let his feet on, to leave his feet on. Yeah. Om Rav Shemalevi also loves she halach davalamis became as a kufa. Why? Person goes, becomes kufa with arrogance, as if he owns the world, as if he's a big knacker, as if he's in control, he's the big boss. He doesn't recognize that Rav Shalom is the big boss. Shouldn't go become a skufa. Rashi on the pasuk. Rashi quotes from the Chazal all the time. Rashi on the pasuk in Bechul Koisai, in the brachas of Klolus. So it says first you have brachas and then it says lo tishmu. If you violate the aver, so it says vayelach eschem koyim meyus. So Rashi says become a skufa. What do you mean? That's a bracha to go become a skufa. The Gemara said that it's an avera. So Mistama, the Torah says come a skufa. Whom are you showing Kamas Kufa against? In Medina Yisrael, they have to have, years ago, they used to have a military parade. They stopped it a long time ago. They used to have on Hayir, the Yom HaTzmah, they always used to have a military parade. That's what brought upon Melchemet Sheshet Hayamim. Instead of having a military parade in Tel Aviv, they had it in Yerushalayim. And the Arabs were right there on the border. The Yerushalayim is right next to the Arabs. So they used to... So the military parade was in Tel Aviv. The Arabs didn't see it. They didn't have a television. So they didn't see it. The military parade was in Yerushalayim. So they're right there. So they got so angry. So that's when they had the whole build-up, and that started the whole Melchama. The whole Melchama Sheshet Hayamim. Nope, it turned out the Taiva. They got back the whole Eretz Yisrael. The Jews got back. So if you have Koyma Zekufa, Keneged Umasa Ilam, that's a blessing. The Jewish people should be able to march in pride, become a skufa, where we have pride in whom we are and what we stand for against the Umasan. But if you have become a skufa, I am an important person. That's out of arrogance. So that's not proper. You go, Dalanamis, become a skufa is terrible. Also, Lahalach, Dalanamis, become a skufa. Once they spoke about Dalanamis, going Dalaram has become a skufa. So they say one of the Chachamim had a Midas Chassidus, Lamazgi Dalaram is Begilu Herosh. He wouldn't walk Dalaram without a yarmulke. Why? Shechina Lamaila Meiroshi. For Yerushamayim. That was a Midas Chassidus that Rav Huna Be'edir Rabbi Shua had. He wouldn't walk Dalaram without Kisui Herosh. There's a Gemara in the end of Masech HaShabbos, but the Gemara says that one of the women came to one of the Tanoim, and she asked, my son is a wild Meshugana, what should I do? He's a wild kid, as a child. So he told her she should put on a yarmulke on the kid. He was slapping the other kids and gambling and breaking things. So he said, put a yarmulke on and it'll instill Yerushamayim in him. So the kid wore a yarmulke all the time, and the Gemara said, tells the story that one day the wind was blowing and the yarmulke fell off, so the kid went wild and he started stealing some fruits from someone else's tree. So that's the meaning that we have today. To wear a yarmulke is based on this Gemara. This Amora had it as a Midas Chassidus. He wouldn't walk Dalan Amos Begilu Herosh, and based on that Gemara, that somehow wearing a yarmulke instills Yerushamayim in the person. Why don't we have women also wear a yarmulke? So we usually assume that the women will naturally have more Yerushamayim than the men. Women usually look to the past and men look to the future. So the Gemara says, "Bischus nashim tzidkoni es nigal avasenim emitzrayim." That the women held on more to the tradition than the men. The men were always looking forward to something new, some new adventure. We'll try out avodah zarah. We'll try something else. That's what the Mefarshim write on the Chumash. I think the Kli Yoke has a whole arichas on this. That Moshe Rabbeinu sent meraglim. He sent men. If he would have sent women, the women had chiba sa'aretz, and he would have not given such a negative report. All the trouble came because it was women, because there were men. The eagle also, right. The Medrash says that the women didn't want to give their jewelry.
Is wearing a yom tov b'sman hazeh, is that a minhag or is it an halacha or is it mis chasidus?
Right, the Taz in Shulchan Aruch says even on the days of the Gemara it was only mis chasidus that Yechidim had. But today everybody knows that the goyim go without a yarmulke, the Jews go with a yarmulke. So if a Jew goes without a yarmulke, it's a violation of a real biblical din of chukas akum. And most of the poskim disagree with the Taz. That's Rav Moshe's first tshuva. And his sefer is the person's going to wear a yarmulke, so he's going to lose out in parnasa. They won't give him a job, and the customers are anti-Semitic, so they won't want to come to him. Is he allowed to sit in the office without a yarmulke for parnasa purposes? So Moshe is mekel. He says, since wearing a yarmulke is only a minig, it's not really a din. So whatever's going to affect the person's parnasa, so we say he doesn't have to wear the yarmulke. But usually people are very makpid about that. I remember Rabbi Yudin once had me speak in his shul many years ago about the issue of observing mitzvahs in the workplace. So I spoke about wearing a yarmulke. So I said over Rav Moshe's tshuva. Then I said about the women, married women, covering their hair. I told over a story. We used to have, there used to be a Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael, in Kerem B'Yavna, and then he came to YU. He was an American. He was raised in Chicago. What's his name? Rabbi Reuven Aberman. So there was a period of time before the Iron Curtain fell, before when communism was really the tokfei, that they wouldn't allow anybody to teach Judaism, so people would sneak in. They would send some women's group in England, would send yeshiva bachim, would send rabbanim to Russia. They would give shiurim in different locations. So they gave him, he went with a friend of his also from Chicago, Rabban Lichtenstein's brother-in-law was a good friend of his, so they both went together. And they had to go to this place and give a shiur on Parshas HaShavua. That place give a shiur on Ksubas Daf Ayin Beis, and Mishnah is over there. They had specific locations and they had to give a shiur on this. So give a shiur on Ksubas Daf Ayin Beis. It's about the married women covering the hair. So there were men and women sitting in a small group. And then there was one woman there, so she asked the question, what if you're going to cover your hair and you're going to lose your job? They're going to fire you. So Rabbi Aberman said, he wasn't thinking, the woman is asking how halacha l'maisa, she's going to lose her job. So he said, oh, Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. They never heard of Rav Moshe Feinstein. They didn't know who Aberman was. Never heard of Rav Moshe Feinstein. So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva that if the woman is married, it's a din d'oraisa. If the woman is divorced, an almana covering the hair is only the rabbanon. And Rav Moshe says, what if carving the hair will cause such problems? It'll be extremely difficult. They're going to get you into big trouble. So Moshe says, there's a Rashi and Ksubas Daf Ayin Beis. Rashi has two pshat and how it's learned out from the Pasuk. The Poras Rosh HaIsha, it says, by the Saito, the Kohen should uncover her hair. So obviously the whole time before she becomes a Saito, so she covers her hair. So Rashi writes pshat in the Drasha. He writes one pshat, then he writes another pshat, inami, lishnachrina, and the two sound exactly the same. There's no difference between the first and the second. So why did Rashi write two different pshatim? So Rav Moshe has a whole shtickle Torah, and he says, according to the one pshat in Rashi, it's a mitzvah menat Torah, according to the other pshat in Rashi, it's an isser. So the 2 days in Rashi, whether the women covering their hair is a mitzvah and isser. There's a big difference. If something is a mitzvah, so we have a klal, the Ramah has the klal, you're not mechayiv to spend more than 1/5 of your total savings in order to fulfill a mitzvah. But if it's an avera, you have to spend, we assume, kol haim beisa. We said the Vilna Gaon quotes the Rishonim, that only by avodah zarah, the din is yehorg v'yavah b'chol napshecho, b'chol miyadecho, b'chol mamayincho, is only by avodah zarah, but by shaar averas is also, but that's not, we don't follow that, opinion that the Vilna Gaon quoted in the Be'er Raga. We follow the Ramah. Ramah says when it comes to Averis, so Hamabaz Alibaz, yes, Mechemish doesn't apply. So Moshe says if a woman is going to, a married woman is going to cover her hair, she's going to lose her job. So he says if it's an Averis, so the din requires up until Safik Sakana Tavash, you're not allowed to violate the Averis. But if it's a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah that Mary Limish covered the head, and then if it's going to cause a big hepsid gadol, so that's like chaymish. Chaymish is hoin rav. You know, you have to spend hoin rav in order to fulfill a mitzvah. Moshe has a chule about a woman is divorced and she needs she wants to go out and get she wants to date and get remarry. So if the guy's going to see that she's wearing a tichel, so he stands less of a chance of getting a shidduch. And the sheitlin years ago used to look awful, used to look like rags, like shmatas. So the girl just got divorced, she's going to have to wear a sheitlin, it's going to look terrible. So Moshe is makel. So he said, why? So he said, if the woman is married and the husband is alive, then it's a real din deraisa. So it's 2 days in Rashi, whether it's an aveir or a mitzvah, so sovik deraisa luchum, so you have to call the chumre, she should cover her hair, even if it's going to cost a hoin rav. But if she's already divorced, and then Rav Moshe assumes, not everyone agrees, Rav Moshe assumes that a divorced woman or an almana, the obligation to cover the hair is only with the rabbanon. Others disagree. So he says, so it's a sveka de rabbanon lakula, it's a suffix, 2 days in Rashi, whether covering the hair is a mitzvah or an aveira. So if she's divorced, it's only the rabbanon, so suffix de rabbanon lakula, he can be mekel. So that's what a lot of women rely on Rav Moshe's tshuva, that after they get divorced, they were married briefly, they get divorced, and want to get another shidduch, so they feel uncomfortable. They're going to wear a sheitel, they're going to wear a tichel, so no one's going to want to marry them, it's going to be too difficult, so they consider Moshe Hetta, they consider high rab. So Rabbi Abraham, the woman asks, what's a din if a woman is married and she's going to cover her, she's going to lose her job? So he said, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, he said he wasn't thinking. Then 2 years later, he comes back to Russia, he visits the same place, already learning something else, not learning Suba Stafine, but he gave him an assignment. And he sees the woman is wearing a big babushka on her head, and after he gave his shiur there, so he asks, what's the story? I remember last time she's the one who asked. He said, she was a doctor in the hospital, she delivered babies. What do you call a baby doctor? Okay. And she said, the next day, she went to the hospital, she covered her hair. Because Abraham, whom she never heard of, quoted Rav Moshe Feinstein, whom she never heard of, but he says that's what the din is. So she covered her hair. They fired her on the spot because she's observing religion. But they maintained her. She should be a janitor in the hospital. And whenever there would be a difficult delivery, they would call her in, but she's not allowed to touch the patient because she's a janitor. So she should tell the doctors what they should do. She should advise the doctors. So I told over this story that Rav Moshe Feinstein says that if a man covering his head, man wearing a yarmulke is only a minig, it was going to cause a problem as far as Parnassus is concerned, so you don't observe the minig, but the women covering the hair, that's a real din deraisa. If the woman is married, so she has to cover her hair, even if it means that she's going to lose her job, even Hain Rav. Wow. So many men would never go to work not wearing a yarmulke. They wouldn't use the kula of Rav Moshe, but the women don't cover the hair. So Rabbi Yudin told me that a couple of weeks later, a couple came to him, and they said like that, the husband always wears a yarmulke, and he's proud of being a Jew, and he would not go for Rav Moshe's kula. He doesn't want to rely on the kula. So the wife decided that she has to start covering her hair. Yeah.
Sometimes we say that Hoin Rav is only what money that you have, but what you're going to earn is not considered a...
Yeah, but the Chofetz Chaim writes in the Sefer on Lashon Hara, in the Sefer Chofetz Chaim, he writes, what if the boss starts talking Lashon Hara to me? If I'm going to say it's Lashon Hara, I don't want to talk. He's probably going to fire me. I don't act normal. A normal person talks Lashon Hara. So he says, what's the din? Are you allowed to talk Lashon Hara in order to maintain your job? So he says, to lose your job, that's considered Hain Rav. And with respect to Averis, that's not a heter. With respect to mitzvahs, that'll be a heter. You're not mukhif to do a mitzvah if you know that by doing the mitzvah, you're going to lose your job. Because that's going to cause your panasa to be very shaky. We consider that hoin rav. Unless you're a millionaire and you can retire already. So there's no issues. Yeah. So the men covering the hair, we assume it's only a minig. It's not a real din. Not like the Taz. Taz came up with a chumer. The Bizman Hazeh, it's a real din of chukas sakim. The Marshal in the Chubis makes fun that you have Ami Ha'aretz who wear a yarmulke, everybody respects them because they wear a yarmulke. They have big Tamil Chacham who sit and learn all the time. But they don't have the minik to wear the yarmulke, so everybody's mevazen them. So he says, why? What are they mevazen them for? They don't have that minig. Yeah, it's a different world today. Today, even the yekkes, years ago, the yekkes wouldn't wear a yarmulke at home, only when they said it broke it. Today, all the yekkes, they all wear a yarmulke all the time. I think at Rabbi Hirsch's school, when they had the secular studies, they didn't wear a yarmulke. Only when they had limudei kodesh, they wore a yarmulke. But now in Breuers, it's not so. Now they wear a yarmulke all day long. So that's in the days of the Gemara, it wasn't such a widespread. Here was Amidus Chassidus. He wouldn't walk Dal Anamas without the Gilu Hirosh. Wouldn't walk Dal Anamas. And Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says you shouldn't walk Dal Anamas without the Tzitzis. The Gemara has one of the. There were Esemili the Chassidusa of Rav. The Radzina Rebbe, the one who thought that he discovered the Trelas. Ab Gershon Henach Leina, he was the Radzina Rebbe in Poland. So he published a whole small sefer, a tiny little sefer, on the one tshuva from the Goyim. The theme of the sefer is the tshuvas of Goyim, Esemili de Chassidus of Rav, and they list off what they are, and if they don't know all 10 in the tshuvas of Goyim, I think they're missing either one or two. They only know 8 or 9 out of the 10. So the Rav Gershon Henach tells you all the marmikaimus, how do you know these 8, how do you know it's so? So one of them is that Rav wouldn't walk Dalai Lamas without the tzitzis and tefillin. That was the Midas Chassidus of Rav. Like the Gemara here, he wouldn't walk Midas Chassidus. The Zamor wouldn't walk Dalai Lamas Gilu Hirosh. So without tefillin, we go all day long without tefillin. We only wear tefillin when we daven shacharis. We don't wear all day long. Because tefillin need a goof noki, so we cut it down to the bare minimum, so we don't wear all day long. But the yarmulke you can wear all day long at Arba Kamfes, the kitzis says. Kitzis Shulchan says, you shouldn't walk the alarams without tzitzis. About 15 years ago, I was in the NCSY learning program in Eretz Yisrael in the summertime. So they took a tour, they were traveling in Bnei Brak. So one of the boys was telling over a story. The boy was not from YU, so he said his father had learned in Kerem Yavne, and his father had a cousin who lived in Bnei Brak. So once he went for Shabbos, he went to spend Shabbos with his cousin. Then the cousin says, would you like to go visit the Stipula? Let's go meet the Stipula. Stipula passed away a long time ago, so this is a story that happened a long time ago. So he said, yeah. So they go in. So the guy from Kerem Yavne was wearing a kippah sruga. And he went into the stipula, and the cousin who lives in Bnei Brak was wearing a Bnei Brak get-up. So they came into the stipula, and the stipula started to scream in Yiddish, Shegetz! You have the chutzpah to come into like that? So he says, my father started to shake, and he thought he meant him. He's wearing kippah. I say, he started to walk out. So he says, no! He says, I don't mean you, I mean this one. So he said, what's wrong? So he said, you're not wearing Arba Kamfes. So he stuck his hand in. He didn't realize he wasn't wearing Arba Kamfes. So he was so embarrassed, he walked out. And this guy's father, with the kippah sruga, he was talking to the stipler for 10 minutes, carried on a conversation. So this, the cousin who wore the whole get-up must have been a little different from everybody else in Bnei Brak, because he forgot to put on his Arba Kamfes. So a year or two later, he joined the Israeli army, which is unusual for people who live in Bnei Brak. And then in the army, one time, they woke them up at 3 o'clock in the morning. They have to go by jeep to do some dirty work somewhere. And they had to get dressed quickly, and they jumped into the jeep. So his cousin jumped into the jeep. And then he realized, we got to put on his Arba Kamfes. So he said, wait for me 1 minute. I have to put on. He ran back. And that's what's put on Arba Kamfes at night. The disciple didn't go into the details, so he didn't know about that. Because you don't see a bracha at night, says in Shulchan Aruch. You shouldn't put on Arba Kamfes at night because that's suffix when we say a bracha. So it's better not to put on. So he ran back to his bunk and he put on the Arba Kamfes. He came back, the jeep had left already, so he missed it. Then it turned out they were all killed. Everybody in the jeep was killed because they went over a mine, and he was nitzel because he ran back in order to put on the Arba Kamfes. So that's a story that the Madrich was telling when we visited Bnei Brak. Anyway, that's the proper thing is you shouldn't walk Dalai Lama's Begidu Herosh, and you shouldn't walk Dalai Lama's without tzitzis. What are the esabila de chasidus of rabbis? He wouldn't walk, he wouldn't look chutz ledal ramosav. He always looked down instead of looking up and seeing what everybody's doing. He would walk down. So there's a run. I start to look. I don't know if it's on Adab. There's a run on the Rif where the Ram says that Rabbi Yosef was a sagi nohar. Who else? Rabbi Sheshes, I think, was also a sagi nohar. So how did they become blind? So I think the Ram quotes from the Shivas Haganim that they wanted to imitate the Esamila, the Hasidusa of Rav. So most of them they were able to do. But this, not to look chutz adal anamis, was too difficult for them. So they decided they're going to blind themselves. So they made a big light, and they stared into the light till they became blind. You allowed to do that? Also, Lodam Lachbo Biatzma Pella. That's what there's a run like that quotes in the Gaon. So that's what the Gemara is going to quote. Rav Yosef was a Sagi Nohar. So he say he became blind. He made himself blind because he wasn't able to live up to the Midas Chasidus of Rav. The Pashta says that that's not right. If you can't absorb Midas Chasidus, so you'll be a Misnagim. So you won't be a Chasid. You live without the Midas Chasidus. You don't blind yourself in order to. That's a Pella de Ketchulis Hagayim. Rav would never talk Sicha B'Telo. Rav never spoke Sicha B'Telo. So the Radzina Rebbe has in his little kuntris on Esamila de Chasidus, on this Chuvas Hagaynim. So he says, he quotes a Gemara Masech HaShabbos. There's a Gemara in Perek HaKelim. There's a Machloikis there. Till the din was established. Now we know the din. That a Kalisha Malachta Leheter, you're not allowed to be Metaltel Shalot HaSorach Klau. You're only allowed to be metaltel, so kufa l'sarach mekoma mechama l'tzel. And a klishim lachta l'yisir, you're allowed to only be metaltel, so kufa l'sarach mekoma, you're not allowed to be metaltel mechama l'tzel, or shalot l'tzarach at all. So the Gemara says that once, in the middle of that discussion about what's the din, so the Gemara tells that once people came to visit Rav, so he said, why don't you bring in a chair from the other room that they should sit on it. So the Gemara asked the kasha, why does Rav have to say they should sit on it? She just said, bring in a chair from the other room. Not allowed to say. They should sit on it. So he says, the kasha was on Rav. If it would have been anybody else other than the Rav, it would have been in a kasha. Because Rav had this, Midas Chasidus, he wouldn't talk Sicha B'Tela. So to say, please bring a chair. Okay? But to say that he should sit on, those few words are Sicha B'Tela. So Rav shouldn't have said it. It's Medayik, because he also the Kalish Malach Talahet, it's only Muta the Tzorach Gufo. Not Mechama tells something. Mar makes a deal from the fact that he said the extra words. So the Radzina Rebbe quotes that you see for that Gemara is based on the assumption that Rav was careful not to talk Sicha B'Tela. Then he says also that every so often, different place, every 100 blot in Shas, the Gemara will say, Rav said a memra, the Gemara fact Akasha, for Hamor Rav Chodazim, he already said that. Why did he have to say a second time? Mar explains he said it all together, or added Chiddush or something. What's wrong? I give the same shir, I repeat the same thing in shir many times over. I said the same thing. I said the same thing today that I said last week before. You're not allowed to repeat yourself. Rav had this midas chasidus, not to talk sicha b'teilu. So usually the Chafetz Chaim has a whole essay about this, based on the Gemara and Chulin. The Gemara quotes the pasuk in Iyov. I think Adam la'omo yulot, man was created to work. La'omo, which omo? Amal malocha, that he should work. No, the Gemara says amal peh. To talk. What amal peh? To talk sicha b'teila? No. Amal peh to talk and learning. So the Chafetz Chaim has a whole essay. So he says what it means is, even though one should be careful not to talk sicha b'teila, but when you're talking and learning, and you explain it very well, then it really, you said it all, but so many times it wasn't really necessary, that's not an aveir of sicha b'teila. Whatever you talk and learning, that's okay. So Rav had a midas chasidus, not to. Not only, that's what the Radzina Rebbe has in that kuntris. Not only would Rav not talk Sicha B'Tela about politics, about the weather, about sports, about the whatever, he wouldn't talk extra and learning. So the Kasha of the Gemara was only Rav. For Hamora Rav Chodazimna, why did Rav say it a second time? We already know that Rav said it once before. Why did he feel it necessary to say it a second time? For Rav, that would be considered Sicha B'Tela. So the Gemara always works on that Kasha, Hamora Rav Chodazimna. So he says it's only a Kasha on Rav. Because Rav had this Midas Chasidus never to talk Sicha B'Tela, and he extended it even talking and learning unnecessarily is also Sicha B'Tela. But on the other Amorim, they wouldn't never ask such a kasha. After Chazar Shas, is it true that they only ask it on Rav?
No, it's a Nis Chazar. When you have a few Chazars, so you have to say it many times.
Yeah, I don't know. don't know. What's so bad about talking? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. So he claims, the Radina Rabbi claims, they're a big bucket. He claims Gemara only SNR Rav. And it's strange. What's wrong to say the same thing many times in learning? I don't know, but the Gemara does have it. It's a strange Gemara. The Gemara asks a Rab. Amar Rab Chodazim, they already said it. Why do you have to say that Tzveitema? Yeah. That's part of the Esamili, the Chasidus of Rav. Shechina Lamayelim Rosh. Yishol ben Almana Achas. There was a boy whose father had passed away and his mother was alive. So Rav Lezer, Rav Yishu were in the same generation. He went and he asked the Tana Rav Lezer, what do I do if my father asks me to service him, my mother asks me to service her? Whom should I give first? It wasn't a get to the kid. He was a yosim. His father was not alive. Rav Lezer didn't know he had no father. So Rav Lezer tells him what the din is. He answers, yes, esmehem kodem. Whom should I give first? I can't give both drinks at the same time. Whom should I take care of first? Amalei. Rav Lezer the Tana says, hana kodem mecha, vasei kodem avicha, vashatov imecha, chayovim bechvod avicha. The wife, when she's married to the husband, the wife is mechuyav. The kvoid baila means to service the husband. To service the husband. So the wife is mechuyav. The husband's not mechuyav to service the wife. Husband mechuyav bekvoid ishta means to give a kovet. He should buy a nice clothing and he should hold the door open for her and he should He should hold the chair for her, whatever. Kovet. But not covered service. The wife is mechuyav b'kvoid. It's the husband is mechuyav b'kvoid ishta. The wife is mechuyav b'kvoid by law. It's not a stira. Different. It's a different covered. So that's what Rabbi Lezer answers. Anach kvoid imech vasek kvoid avicha shatov imecha chayavim b'kvoid avich. Comes and he asks the Tana Rabbi Yeshua the same thing. Amalo kachs. He gives him the exact same answer. Then he says Amalo. So the kid, the yosem, asks Rabbi Yeshua. Amalei Rebbe, what's the din? It's Gar Shemao. What if the parents got divorced? What's the din? So Rabbi Shua looks at him and he says, I can tell that you're a Yosem. You don't have a father. How can he tell? He says, Mibein Risa Yeinech Anikir Shebet Almana Ato. I can tell you must have cried so much when your father died that your eyelashes fell out. The Rashi quotes there's such a story in the Gemara. That the eyelashes fell out. So he says, I can tell you don't have a father. You just have a mother. So it's not negeh halacha l'maisa. V'bein risei necha nikush ben alman ato. It's not halacha l'maisa. But what's taka the din? If nizgar shemao, so he can say the mother is mechuyav b'kvoid baila, they're not married anymore. So he says the answer is, hatel lehem mayim b'seifel, v'kakel lehem ketani galim. Give them enough water that they should drink and let them argue it out. Let them argue it out on their own. So what's the did? Halacha Maisa, what's the answer? So in Shulchan Aruch they quote the Rambam, I think it's the Rambam, that calls man that the parents are married. The wife is married, so she's meshubit to service the husband. If they get divorced, so the kibbut aviyim is equal, kibbut avkei, and they're both equal. So the Rambam says, "Eze shiur to yagdim." There's no preference to kibbut av over kibbut aim, and no preference kibbut aim over kibbut av. So they're equal. Eze shiur to yagdim. And then in the Pischei Tshuva, he quotes the Yamshel Shloimei, and Agamori says, "No, that if you're going to take sides, nizgarsha they're divorced, and he's going to give the father first and the mother first." Then it's again the cover of the other parent. It's not Eizah Shir to Yagdim. You have to, the Gemara meant to say, you should do the Kibbut Abiyam in such a way as not to be Mechabed one more than the other. Because if you're going to be Mechabed one first, then the other one second, you're already showing more cover and being disrespectful to the other one. You have to be careful. Machloik is how to understand the Gemara. The Rambam understood the Gemara that it's just a Melitza. Melitza just means Ezeshir to Yagna. There's no mila in one over the other. So whenever a person wants to do two mitzvahs, so we have rules and regulations. Learn that from Sukkim. Torah v'sheinah Torah Torah Kodesh Mekudesh v'ani Mekudesh Mekudesh Kodesh. We have other rules and regulations also. The mitzvah that you became obligated to observe earlier, you should do mitzvah. One is mitzvah veres, one is mitzvah sheinah veres. A whole hierarchy of rules and regulations. Here, kibbutav kibbiyim. They're both equal. If the parents are divorced, they're both equal. So A is a Shir to Yagdam. He can do either A, B, or B, A. It doesn't make a difference. That's what the Rambam says. And the Marshal holds like the other Rishonim that that's not right. You're going to choose to do first one and then the other, so then it's a bizoin to the other parents. You have to figure out how to do it. That's pshat in the Gemara. You have to figure out how to do it in such a way not to take a stand on whom are you giving more cover to. Yeah. Then the Gemara quotes, when the Rebbe Shlomo was proclaimed, Malchus Haras Adibus Har Sinai, all the nations of the world knew that something was going on. The birds weren't chirping and the behemoths were not making noise. And they asked Bilam, Anavi, what's going on? He said, Hashem Moz Le'amayit, and Rebbe Shlomo is giving a new religion. So they thought, what a new religion, usually they have holy wars, and they want to kill everybody who doesn't want to join their religion. No, Hashem Yibarachas Amo Vashon. It's a peaceful religion. There's not no holy wars now. So they asked, what does it say in the Torah? What are they proclaiming? They heard booms. They heard noises. They heard sounds. They didn't know what was going on. So they said, God is proclaiming a new religion. What new religion? There's only one God. So every religion says like that. Then he said, it says, so that was a chiddush, that there was a religion that tells you how to act all day long, A to Z. Which shoe you put on first, that's minhagim. Which shoe you take off first, when you take a shower, when you take a bath, should you wash the right side first, left side first, when you go to Beis HaKisei, which hand do you use to be mekanech, everything. A religion has something to say about everything, every step of the way. So that's what they said, wow, it's not just b'nonim ha'makam, it's all day long. Rosh devorcha emes. What does it mean? Misof devorcha nikash, rosh devorcha emes. From the fact that the Seres Adibis continues to talk about Kibir Aviyeim, Ela Sirtzach, Ela Sinaf, Ela Signum, Ela Sana Berachay, Et Shoker, Ben Adam Lamakam, Ben Adam Chaver, Ben Adam Le'atma, has everything. This is a taka, truly a new religion. Kishamu Imre Picha, not Kishamu Maima Picha, all the nations of the world recognize the Hashivas of the Jewish religion because of Imre Picha, not Maima Picha, Ne'o Shem Alakecha. There's only one God. No. A whole full religion that goes from A to Z. It takes care of everything in life. So that's how the Gemara explains. Bominei Ravula, the Esther Shaila, to what extent is one Muchayev to do Kibir Aviyeim? To service the parents. Amalahem, so Ravula told them, we should learn a lesson from the Nochri, Dama ben Nesin, who lived in the city Ashkelon in Eretz Yisrael. Bamachas Big Shacham Prakmatya B'Shishim, they wanted to buy something from him, he would have made so much profit on the deal. The Babli says that the father was sleeping and the key to go get to take care of the business was under his head. And the son wouldn't wake up the father. Tosis quotes the Yerushalmi, not that it was under his head. Tosis said, Yerushalmi Yesh, a different version, Shehoyu Raglov, Pshutos on the table. The father was sleeping and his feet were on top of the box that had the keys. Lekachlo Shibra. Yeah. Whatever it was, the father was sleeping in Mishum Kibirav, he lost the fortune of money. He could have made profit. There's just something missing in this. I should have told him, my father's sleeping, and come back in 2 hours, and I'll give you the merchandise.
Is it really a stira? Tosa just has a kasha. Why do you need the key? You can just open. Tosa says that the story additionally, it's
still
in the blank. Why can't you just open it? Why
does
it need the keys? Because it was also
Tachar. Yeah. Slight difference between the two versions. Basically the same story. So he wouldn't wake up the father. The Gemara has similar on the second white line, Sholas Rab Lezer, the Esther Tana Rab Lezer, hey, can keep it at the end. Avlan, the same thing. Learn the lesson from the non-Jew. They wanted to buy Avonim La'efod. Obviously, the story happened with Zman HaBayis. Well, was it Zman HaBayis Rishon, Zman HaBayis Sheni? Pashta sounds like it's Zman HaBayis Sheni. So the Rishonim have a whole discussion. The Avnei HaEfod, you have to engrave the name of the Shvatim on the Avnei HaEfod. In order to engrave it, you have to have the Shomer. And the Gemara says after the Churban HaBayis, the Shomer was lost. So how can it be that they needed Avonim Le'efod Bizman Ba'ishen and Shaman was lost? So they say, apparently, the Rishonim say, apparently, when it says after the Churban HaBayis the Shaman was lost, that was after the Churban Ba'ishen, not after the Churban Ba'is Rishon. Bizman Ba'ishen, they had a Shamir. They needed it in order to engrave the names of the Avnei HaEfod. Okay, so that's a discussion the Rishonim have. When did the story happen? So they assume it happened. Bizman sold them the Avonim Le'efod, he would have made a certain profit, Shishim Ribos Schar, or 80 ribos schar, whatever, and the father was sleeping and it didn't wake him up, so he lost the parnosa. Again, something missing over here. Why didn't he say, come back tomorrow? My father's sleeping, come back tomorrow. I know I have that type of an evan for the eifud. Where there was such a rush, they needed a dafka now. I don't know. So then the Gemara says he was rewarded. Dama ben Hasid of the Nach was well. The Shana Chavis Nasakolach Parochos Scharo. It paid off. He was rewarded. Min Hashemayim Shenoldola Paraduma Beedro. Paraduma is very rare. If you have Shtei Cyrus that are not red, so it passes the whole thing. So the next year he had a Paraduma Beedro. Nichdun Sulechach Misalets Amalahem. So he said, Yedan Ibrahim on the first very wide line. Yedan Ibrahim. Listen, whatever I'll ask for, you're going to give me, but I'm only going to ask for that amount of money that I lost out last year because of the kibbut aviyim. Sure. So he made a fortune as it was. So the Gemara says, the Nochri does not have the mitzvah of kibbut aviyim. And nonetheless, he was rewarded so much. Misha mitzvah v'yosu gets a greater reward. So by a Jew who is mitzvah kibbut aviyim, halacha is kama v'kama. He's rewarded like this. He makes $60 million on the deal. Why? That's his memory. You get more reward. So that's adhechan kibbut aviyim, even to lose a fortune of money. The Gemara has on the next daf. The machlek is the boilahu, the last two words on the bottom of Lamed Aleph on the base, and the top of Lamed Beis on the Aleph. Kibirah Mishal B is the Mishal Av or Mishal Bein. So the Gemara comes to Maskana Mishal Av. The son is not mechuyev to lose money over Kibirah Aviyem. Here the son lost a fortune of money over Kibirah Aviyem. So the answer is he didn't lose money. He lost that Menias HaRevach. So that the Gemara says, you are mechuyev. It says, Kibbut Aviyim, you have to lose out Lebitul Melocha. That's 10 lines from the top on Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. Let's say in order to help out the parents, in order to service the parents, he has to take off a day or two from work. He's going to take a day off from work. He's not self-employed. The boss is going to dock him from his pay, so he's going to lose money. So that's not against the din. Kibbut Av Mishalav, Alom Mishalbein, son is not mechuyev to spend money from his pocket, but he is mechuyev to take off from work in order to drive the father around, in order to take care of their needs. So that he is mechuyev to do. That's the top Tosfos on Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph. Quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi, that the Pasuk says, Kaberes Hashem Ehoincho. Here the Gemara quoted that Pasuk here, about 7 lines from the bottom of Lamed on the base. It says in Chumash, Kaberes Ehoincho Esmecha, and it says, Kaberes Hashem Ehoincho. What does mean kabedes Hashem mehoincha pasuk in Mishnah? Mehoincha means from your wealth. Mimashach anancha Hashem. What the Rebbe Shalom gave you wealth, that you should use that money to do kvod amokum. Kabedes Hashem mehoincha. So the Tosfos quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi that kvod amokum is only if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you assets. Should use the assets like Kol Shamayim, but keep it Aviyim. You believe even if you don't have any assets, even if you don't have any a lot of money. What do you mean? You believe to spend money, but that's against the Gemara. The Gemara says keep it Aviyim Mishal Av, but not Mishal Ben. The son is not believe to spend money. So that doesn't mean that the son is believe to suffer bitul malacha. He's believe to take off a work a whole week from his job, and they're going to dock him a pay. They're going to dock him his pay for that the whole week. So in a it's not always so clear that kibbut av is mishal av, lo mishal bein. Lo mishal bein means he doesn't have to lay out money from his pocket. But menias harevach, that yes, he has to, bit on the loch, he does have to do. So that's why it only says by kvod amokum, it's kabedes Hashem mehercha, imashach anancha. Sometimes the son will have to be mechazer av apsochim. He can't take a job because he has to help out the parents, and then he doesn't have a job, he's going to be penniless. So he'll have to be mechazer al apsachim in order to get the money. Achidish.
Sounds like he had an interest in the whatever was in the box, because was it his, the son's, or was it the father's, what the Chachamim wanted?
It sounds like it was the son's. The sons, if he would have sold them the Avarim Le'efo, the son would have made a big profit. But the father was sleeping in his home. The father was sleeping in the son's home. The son couldn't get to the key. So he forfeited, he lost the Minyas HaRevach over here. So Rabbi Yosef was a Sagi Nohar, okay, he couldn't see. And he makes a statement. Miresh, originally he used to say, Havi Amina. I used to say, Havo Amina, my practice, but we used to say, Manda Havale Halacha Gerab Yudu. He said that three in Perak HaChevel. It says in the Mishnah, you have to HaChevel Bachaveh has to pay Chamisha Dvar. There's the Ksari Peshevis and Boishes. So Boishes is different from the others. Boishes is an Oynesh. The others are not an Oynesh. The others are Chiyav Mammon. Boishes is a Knas and it's an Oynesh. So the Mishnah says, Rabbi Yehuda darshens the Pesukim in such a way that it comes out that a Suma is Pata min HaBoishes. Boishes Pshat, not that a Suma is Pata from all the Tashlomen, Nezek, Tzari, Peshevis, but Pata from Boishes. And then, so one version is only said on Boishes. One version said on Boishes, on Malkus, on Misa, and on Golus. All on Shem is Pata. And the third version was, based on another person, where is Pata Amiralam HaHaver, is Pata Amiralam HaMokam, Suma is Pata Mikol HaMitzvahs. So where the Magen Avraham and Hilchas Kriya Shema points out that Rav Rishon and Paskin, not like Rav Yehuda, Rav Rishon and Paskin, that a Suma is Chai B'chol HaMitzvahs. Maybe Kiddush Levon is not Mechuyev, maybe a mitzvah that depends on seeing. So if you can't see, he doesn't have that mitzvah. Okay, but basically, what about tzitzis and tefillin? So we don't really accept Rav Yehuda's opinion. So Rav Yosef was a Sagi Nohar, so he says, Meiresh, originally when I became blind, Hav Amina, I used to say, Manda Hav Avali, Halachik Rav Yehuda, whoever will prove that din is like Rav Yehuda, that Sumas Pat Mikol HaMitzvahs, Avidni Yom Tov the Rabbanim, I'll throw a party for the Talmidei Chachamim. Rabbanim means the Talmidim. I deserve more reward than others. But now that I just heard now that Rabbi Chanina claims God loves to ask Mishen Mitzvah V'Yos, you get more reward. If you are Mitzvah V'Yos, I realize Ader Rabbi Pong Faket, Mandamali, whoever will prove to me, and Allahi Krabuta, and I am Mitzvah V'Yos, Avidni Amitav the Rabbanim. That's what most of the Rishonim assume. That assume is Chai B'chol HaMitzvahs. So immediately he gets more schar. When he does the mitzvah, he gets more schar. Then the Gemara says, what else did this dumb Ben Asina do in the area of Kibbut Aviyim? He also, Rav Dimi, when he came from Eretz Yisrael, Ashkelon is a city in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he said about this fellow, Dumb Ben Asina, he even fulfilled Kibbut Aviyim in a much more enhanced form. Einam Mitzvah, he said, not Mechuyim. But he observed it even in the more enhanced form that one we said before. That he didn't wake up the father, and he lost money. No, Pamachas, Hoyolovish, Sirkon Shel Zohav, he was dressed up with an expensive garment. But Yoshimik Doli Rami, it was an Ochri. Ubasimo, the mother was Meturefes Bidaito, Tosa says. Yesh Ben Bedesh Yosem Meturefes Bidaito. She was off her raka, and she came, the Karosa, she ripped it, Karosa Mamena, she ripped it off of him, she tore it, she destroyed it. The Tavchal Al Rosha, she bopped him over the head. The Yorkalib, she had a bop, a baseball hat, a cap, a bat. The Yorkalib upon him, and she spit in his face. And he didn't say a word. So that's what the Gemara says. We should learn from the Nochrim. Look, the Nochrim volunteered. Keep it out of the aim. As it aim, it's a mitzvah, so we should certainly observe it properly. Yeah, how does one fulfill Kibbut Aviyein? By giving physical service. Machal Amashke, how did the Gemara say? Machal Amashke, Malbush Amachase, Machnes Amoitzi. So yeah, so the Gemara says, Yesh Machal Yavu Pasyoine, you can feed your father pheasant, very expensive. We don't have a tradition on pheasant, but it's kosher. We assume it's an oiftomi. It really has all this money, Tahara. The pheasant has all this money, Tahara. I remember where I was once by Rabbi Machpud, very colorful Talmud Chacham in Bnei Brak. So they shechted a pheasant. He shechted a pheasant. And then he showed all the simoni Torah. He shows kurkavana likla, everything it has, but we don't have a masor on it. So the meaning is we don't eat anything that we don't have a masor. I think some achrayim say there is a masor. I think the Malam Lahol says there is a masor. The pheasant is kosher. The Moshe says we don't accept that Malam Lahol. We assume pheasant, there's no tradition on pheasant, so we don't eat it. But pasiani is some kind of fancy, probably a pheasant or some kind of a fancy food. So sometimes the children can give the parents the most spend a fortune of money on food to feed the parents. And the Tardamin Oilam, the son's giving the food to the father, is going to cause him to lose Oilam Abba, because he doesn't do it B'Lev Shalem. He's disrespectful to the father. This is quotes the Medrash. He's disrespectful when he gives it. So it doesn't help that he gave the most expensive food in the world. If he's disrespectful, so it's not a Kima Mitzah. The Yesh, and sometimes the son makes the father work, hard work, Matchina Barichaim. They used to have mills where people had to walk around in a circle in order to have the top stone move on top of the bottom stone. Rechaim Barechev. To have the Rechev move on top of the Rechaim to grind up all of the grain. But sometimes the son makes the father work difficult, hard labor, back-breaking labor. The son's asking the father to do that. Well, he's going to bring the son to Olam Haba. Why? The son is doing it to save the father from something worse. So it doesn't depend whether you give good food to... It doesn't always depend whether you give expensive food to the parent and make the parent work hard. It depends on all the circumstances. It depends on your attitude at the time that you're doing the kibbutz. Then the Gemara tells the story. Amar Ababo, my son Avimi, he's Mekayim Kibbutz Avim. So the Gemara says, whenever the grandfather would come knock on the door, and he had five grown grandchildren, they could have opened the door and be Mekayim Kibbutz Av by the grandfather. His son, even though the son had five children, the son would always run and do it by himself, and he fulfilled the Kibbutz Av. Sure. Okay. For which he was rewarded. Okay. Son was rewarded that he figured out a drasha on the Perek Antilim Mizmal Yosef. Then they have a shayla, what should I do? This is quotes from the Medrash that the second Tosis on Lamed Aleph Beis. This quotes from the Yerushalmi. Rav Tarfon used to come from the yeshiva. Where is that story? Oh, Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel would come from the yeshiva, and he would wash his feet. And the mother was so happy that her son was learning in the yeshiva, she would drink the water that his son had washed his feet in, out of kavod haTorah. So he felt so uncomfortable. He asked in the Beis Medrash, what should I do? That's a violation of Kibbutz Avim. My mother's drinking the water from the bathtub. I took a bath. She's drinking the water that she washes my feet with. So he said, if that's what she wants, that's Kibbutz Av. That's an expression based on that last line of Tosfos. Ritzono shel Adam zehu kvodem. Kibbutz Avim is whatever they want. That's a definition of kodem. Then Reb Tarfon was very mechabed. The mother, Tosfos quotes in Yerushalmi, the mother lost her slippers. So she had to walk on the floor. She didn't have any shoes. She needed a pair of slippers. Rav Tarfon would crawl on the floor, put his hands on the floor. The mother wouldn't have to put her bare feet on the floor. She put it on him. So he was, in a very exaggerated way, he was fulfilling kibbutz. The Yerushalmi also tells a story. Tosfos doesn't quote it. If you look in the Anyanke, if they quote it, the Yerushalmi tells a story that Rav Tarfon once, when he was young, he took sick. He was deathly sick. So his mother ran to the Beis Medrash and she asked that the Rabbanu Shel Olam Mispal for her son, that he's such a wonderful son, he's Mekayim Kibbutz Avim. And she said, but he does, and he crawls on the floor and he holds his hands. So they should be Mispal for him, that he should have a Refuah Shleimah. So the Chachamim said, yeah, like Rab Tarfon said, like, yeah, Adayin lo higia lechatzi kovod. So the Mefarsh Ma'an Yerushalmi asked, he's sick. Rab Tarfon is deathly sick. And the mother asked they should be mispalled, that he should survive. So they say, yeah, he's not worth it. That's what you say. When a person is sick, you say, let him drop dead. What kind of talking is that? So that's what the Mefarshim may have printed on the side of the Anyankiv. They had this pshat. Rav Soloveitchik, every so often, would say over this. The Chachamim meant to say that sometimes a person is brought into this world to accomplish a certain mission in life. So they were afraid that maybe the mission of Rav Tarfon was to fulfill the mitzvah of Kibbutz in a very exaggerated way. So the mother says, wow, he's such a tzaddik, he fulfilled his mission, and he fulfills the mission of Kibbutz Avim. So they said, no, he didn't fulfill the mission yet. If he fulfilled his mission, he can die. So they said, there were malamet zchus on him. If his mission in life was Kibbutz Av, adayin lehegia lechatzi Kibbutz Av. Remember, last year, Rav Weiss passed away. He was one of the Rebbe's in yeshiva. Rabbi Weiss passed away. So a few years previously, he had a married daughter who passed away. He died in his 90s. He had a married daughter who was in her 60s, I guess. She had a lot of children. She was married to a Talmid Chacham in Brooklyn, and she had a lot of children. She passed away. So we went to be Menachem Avil by Rabbi Weiss. So we didn't know, what do you say? He lost the daughter. So we're just sitting there, we didn't say anything. So he pulled out a Tshuvas Chasam Sofer, and he started reading from the Hagdama of the Chasam Sofer to one of the volumes of the Tshuvas. So the Chasam Sofer writes, the Baruch Shalom sometimes brings people into this world because they have a mission. When the mission is up, so they don't have to live anymore. So he takes them back. So he says, apparently his daughter fulfilled her mission in life. She had a big family, she had a lot of children, she raised them. Half of them were married, most of them, maybe they were all married, I lost track already. And so the Chasam Sofer writes a lot, and some people are zecher, they fulfill a mission early in life, so they don't have to live on Olam Hazeh. And some have not yet fulfilled their mission. So that's where Rav Soloveitchik liked that. He gave a whole drosha once, which is probably published. Rav Soloveitchik was sitting shiva on Purim when his wife died. It was right, she died right before Purim, so he was sitting shiva on Purim. So every year after his wife passed away, he always used to give drushes in Yiddish. Every year he would give a lecture in English so the girls from the Stern College should be able to understand also. So he used to come to the Lampert Auditorium. So every year he gave some drushes. So one year he gave the drush on the person, Mi Adem Leis Kazos Higat Lamalchus. Maybe this was your whole purpose. Maybe this was the philosophy of mission, I think he called it. Philosophy of mission. Maybe your purpose in life in marrying Ahasuerus was in order to save the Jewish people. So you better make sure that maybe this is your mission in life. That's what he told Henry Kissinger also when he was Secretary of State. He was Jewish. He came from Breuers. So he told him, maybe this is your mission in life, these letters, maybe this is your mission in life, to see to it that you support Medina Sassoon, but he didn't. He didn't fulfill his mission. If that was his mission, he did not. He's still alive today. He did not fulfill his mission in life. He married a non-Jewish girl. So his father didn't. He married a non-Jewish girl on Shabbos. So his father was a religious balabas. His father didn't go to the wedding. But the mother went to the wedding. But he married a non-Jewish girl. Aye, aye.
And then Kissinger writes in his autobiography that his views on Israel were informed by his Agudist youth group.
Mm-hmm. In Europe.
Yeah.
In Europe, he used to be Tziri Aguda, yeah. So they made a mistake, they're good and made a mistake in Europe. They brainwashed them in the wrong direction. Yeah. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Asher Misha Lo Hamon. Fortunate is the one who never saw his parents, because the mitzvah of Kibbutz Av V'Em is so difficult to observe. Everybody violates it all the time. So the Gemara tells that's what Rabbi Yechanan made such a comment, because he was a Yosef. When his mother became pregnant, the father passed away. And at birth, it was very common. The mother lost her life at childbirth, so he never knew his father, never knew his mother. So he never had the challenge. Rechein Abai also didn't. His father died when his mother became pregnant, and the mother died at childbirth, so he didn't have any parents at all. So that's what they said. Fortune is the one who doesn't have the challenge to observe Kibbutz Av V'Em, because we all violated. We don't fulfill it properly. What do you mean Abai didn't have a mother? He's always quoting his mother. Mar says, no, Amar Liyem is not quoting his mother. That's the woman who raised him. And Mar says, Hahi Mar Benise. That's the woman who raised him, who adopted him. So he calls her Amar Liyem. But Abai and Rabbi Yechon, they both were Yisayim from both parents. Then Gemara tells a story. Rav Asi had an old mother who was beginning to become senile. So Amalisha, she tells her son, I'd like to have some jewelry. 95-year-old lady, she needs fancy jewelry. Well, she's going to get a shidduch at the age of 98 or something? What's going
to... She wants to get a
shidduch. Okay. So, Avadlo. Okay. So he got her some jewelry. Then she says, Be'ina Gavra, I want to remarry at the age of 98. So he says, I'll look into it. Then she says, I want a young man like you, a good-looking husband with dark hair like you, handsome. Eh? So he realized the mother's off a rocker. So he ran away to Eretz Yisrael. He can't. She was beginning. She was senile. So there's a pasuk or a makla over imoy. Cursed be the one who's mavaza the parents. So all the arurim, all the 11 arurim that were proclaimed the hagrizim harevon. So what are they? They're the exact same thing as the other psukim in the chumash. We assume no. All of those arurim are adding on something over and above what it says, like. In Sanhedrin, the Gemara has Elohein HaNisrofim. Elohein HaNiskalim, Elohein HaNisrofim. Elohein HaNisrofim, so the Gemara talks about Isha Ubita. If a man marries a woman and her mother, a woman and her daughter, so the Kedush HaNotopsin in the woman, but then when he lives with the mother or the daughter, so then Chayiv Sreifim. So the Gemara says, Ba'esh Yisrifu Oso V'es Hen. The chayv sreifa, also the man, because he violated. Best hen, you give sreifa to both the wife and her mother, the wife and the daughter. Why the wife didn't do any aver? Why do you say also the hen? So the Gemara says, this is machlokes hatanoim. So one Tana says the word es hen means es achas mehen, because she came by losh and yevani. The word one comes from the Greek, and one in Greek is one, the number one. Eshen, the one of the two. Not that you give them both the death penalty. The wife who married him beheta. The one who is beisa, either the isha bita, the isha the chamosa, either the shviga or the daughter. So that one gets this rape. And the other Tana says, Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva says, no, osav yeshen shnehem means chamosa lachamisa zishtoi. You only give sreifa to the chamoso if his wife is still alive. If his wife is no longer alive, so there's no sreifa for chamosa, right? Because eshen means eshnehem when they're both alive. So it's takamuta. It's muta to marry your mother-in-law after your wife dies. So Rashi on the Gemara says no. There's an iser orur. Orur, I forgot the losh. Shochevim chosanto. Or shochevim chosanto. It's an iser to marry your mother-in-law. How does Rashi know that it goes on chamosa lachamisis ishta? Maybe it goes on chamosa. So apparently Rashi understood that the Arurim, the 11 Arurim, must be adding something on that doesn't say in the normal sources. So the normal source, Isha Bito, is only Bechaye Yishto. Chamosalach means Yishto. There's no lav, there's no prohibition, but it's included in the Arurim. That's what we usually assume. Oramasik Vulriyeh is an Issa. So Lasasa Gurli Acho Benachloscha Shatincha goes if you move over the border in Eretz Yisrael and you steal someone else's property. If you steal an automobile in Eretz Yisrael, it's an Issa Loi Sigzal. And if you steal real estate from Chutz Lartz, it's an Issa Loi Sigzal. But if you steal real estate in Eretz Yisrael by moving over the border, in addition to violating Loi Sigzal, you also violate Lasasa Gurli Acho. But then you have this pasuk or Masik Gurli Yehu. So we usually assume that it includes more than Masigvul. It doesn't only go on one moving over the border. If you take away someone else's panos, we say that that's called a violation of Hasogas Gul. So that's what they say, that we assume like that, because we assume all of the Arum are adding on something that you would have not known otherwise, like the Rashi write, by Ur Shochevim Chosanto, that it's adding on something in addition. So here also, or makl over the imoy, the mitzvah of kibbut av is if it's within reason. Here the mother is senile. So let's say, a senile parent's going to ask for crazy things. There was one rabbi in the New York area, when his father became old, he wanted to lick tefillin on his legs. So Rabbi Soloveitchik said, you're not allowed to give him the tefillin. You're not allowed to be mevaza the tefillin. You don't. Or one of the rabbis in Baltimore Yeshiva died because he kept on smoking. So his children took away all the cigarettes. They wouldn't let him smoke, so he would buy cigarettes again. So they kept on taking away the cigarettes. He wasn't senile. He was learning. He was learning till the end. But you're not allowed to, that's not kibbut av. That's not kibbut av. But even if the parent is senile, there's still a din or a maklo v'vima. You're not allowed to be mevaza them. You're not allowed, you have to take away the cigarettes. You can't be disrespectful, even in such a case. So that's the story over here. That's how the Rama presents it. If the parents are asking for absolutely unreasonable things, and the children are going off their minds, So there are a lot of, they should move to a different city, the children should move to a different city and have someone else take care of the parents. They shouldn't do it themselves to be disrespectful to the parents. So that's what he did, the Samar. So he ran to Eretz Yisrael. So he ran to Eretz Yisrael. Shopka bozal aradiso, because she was off Iraqa. Then a couple of years go by, whatever he is, that the mother is coming to Eretz Yisrael. So they gave him half a message. It means the mother passed away, and they're bringing the Oren to Eretz Yisrael. But that was at the end, he found out like that. But originally, they told him half a story. So he thought the mother is coming to Eretz Yisrael, and he was afraid she may need help to travel to make sure that she doesn't get hurt. So he went to ask Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan lived in Eretz Yisrael. Also the camera, am I allowed to go to Chutzla Oretz? Ma'olot says, Meretz Ol Chutzla. Also, not allowed to go to Chutzla. Yeah, it's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. What about the Krasim Amahu? What about to help my mother? I have to go. My mother wants to come to Eretz Yisrael. Am I allowed to go to Chutzla Oretz in order to help her? So he said, I don't know. I have to think about it. Any day. Israch Porto. So there was a pause. So he says, wait a while, I'm going to think about it. Hadar Asa, so the Amora comes, the Ravasi comes back to Rabbi Yochanan, Amalei, Asi, Ravasi was his name, so he called him by his first name. Asi, I see you made your mind up to leave Eretz. He says, okay, Gegzuntehin, come back, come to Rikizuntehin, you should, but he said, Hamakam Yachzir Chadushom, you should have a safe trip. So he was nervous. This Rabasi always learned the Bavel. He ran away to Eretz because the mother was off her mind. He didn't yet know in Eretz Yisrael that a different dialect of Hebrew and everything was a little different. He wasn't sure whether Rabbi Yochanan was being sarcastic or he really meant it. So he went to Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar was a star student of Rabbi Yochanan. So he went to Rabbi Lazar and he said, also come to Rabbi Lazar, Amalei, Chas v'Shalom Dilma Mirsach Rosach, did Rabbi Yochanan get angry at me? So he said, what did you say? What did he say? I'll tell you what. So he says, Mayo Malach, I said, Hamokim Echzir Chadushalom. He said, no, if he would be angry, he wouldn't. He didn't say it sarcastically. He gave you a bracha. Misa derasach if you'll be al habim avarach loch. No, he didn't get angry. So then he was prepared to go to Eretz Yisrael. The hachi v'hachi shama la raida de kaasi. He heard that the mother had passed away and they're bringing the oren to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. He says, I made a mistake. Yadi la nafke. If I would have heard in the very beginning that my mother passed away, it's not kibud av. It's a kibud av is if my mother needs help to come to Eretz Yisrael. But if she died already, so the Chevek Kaddish will bring her to Eretz Yisrael, they don't need me. So he wouldn't. That's for sure not right. To leave Eretz Yisrael, to make sure that the Oren arrives. The Oren will arrive. To leave while the mother is alive, that was the Shaila that he asked Rabbi. Is that permissible or not? Yeah, then Gemara has Mechabda Mechaim Mechabda Laham also. What's an example of Mechabda Mechaim Ketzan Anishma B'dvarav Yim L'mokoyim Lo'yom HaShalcheinu B'shvil Atzmi Mahareini B'shvil Atzmi Patreini B'shvil Atzmi. Let's say they were waiting in line in the butcher shop. So he says, I'm the rabbi's son, I have to take care. So if they're going to give him first, if they're going to give him Kedima because they're rabbi's son, so he can say, I'm a rabbi. Let's say he's dressed up like a rabbi. He says, I'm a rabbi, I don't have time to wait online. So if he'll say, I'm a rabbi, they'll let him go first. Say, I'm the rabbi's son, they'll also let him go first. Kibbutz required, probably Moirav, respect. This is not physical service. So that's Mishum Moirav. So he says, he should do Bishvil Abba. Okay. The son should say, do it because I'm the son of so-and-so. He shouldn't say, I'm a primary rabbi, do it for my sake. Lukula Bishvil Abba. Then Mimosa Ketzan, so we discussed already. Tan Rabban Chacham, if someone's giving a shiur and wants to quote from his father, he's not allowed to refer to his father by his name. I say, my father Zichron LeBracha said this. I heard from my father Zichron LeBracha. But when the Meturgman says it over, in the days of the Gemara, they had big crowds of Talmidim, and the Magid Shir didn't say the shiur directly. He would whisper the shiur into the ears of the Meturgman. Meturgman would say it out loud. When the Meturgman says it out loud, he doesn't have to say the Rosh Hashiva's father said. He can say Rav Ashi said. My Baravashi, the son, is saying, this is what my father said. But when the Meturgman said, my father said this, and the Amora said, this is what Ravashi said. He referred to him by his first name. Fine. Then the Gemara has what is Kavod, what is Mora, we know. Okay. Yeah, in Shulchan Aruch you have the whole Siman Reish Mem, all about Kibbut Aviyim. So then there's a Ramah, the last line in Siman Reish Mem. The Ramah says if the son wants to marry a girl and the father, the parents are unhappy about the Shidduch, so the din of Kibbut Aviyim doesn't apply in such a case. So in the Bi'ur HaGra he quotes that there are three different reasons why the din of Kibbut Av does not apply. And each one of the reasons is independent of the other reason. You don't need a tzir of all three together. So one reason is that the son wants to get married. He wants to do a mitzvah. The mitzvah to get married and raise a family. And the parents are going to tell him, don't marry that girl. So it's a toss-up, this girl or that girl. The parents are saying, don't marry that girl. They're going to marry the other girl. No, take him another year. Take him another half year till he meet another girl, until he's going to propose to the girl. So he wants to get married now, and the parents are telling him not to fulfill a mitzvah. So that's what the Gemara says, a Kibbut Av that comes in contradiction and conflict with the mitzvah, so you don't have to observe Kibbut Av yet. So the Gemara says in the beginning of Yevamos, in the Sugya Vesa Dechol HaSesei, if the father on Shabbos tells his son, I'd like to have a cup of hot coffee. But there is no hot coffee, so the son has to be Mechal Shabbos to make hot coffee. So then the din is, you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos in order to fulfill the Kibbut Aviyim. So not only does it apply if it's a mitzvah deraisa, even if it's a mitzvah derabbanon, you also say, but over here, Pirvei Rivya, getting married is a mitzvah deraisa. Yeah. Even a minig, let's say, in Shulchan Aruch they have this case, Pischei Tshuva quotes it, the mother passed away and the son sang Kaddish and the father's there in Shul. Father says, you give me the heebie-jeebies, I don't want you to say Kaddish, I'm still alive. I feel as if I'm on my way to die if you're going to say Kaddish, I'm still standing here. But everybody says Kaddish, it's a universal minig all over the world, everybody says Kaddish when a parent died. So the Haskamas Rav Achreinim is that the son should say Kaddish. The father has no right to tell the son to violate the minig hanofuts all over. That's whenever the Kibbut Aviyim stands in contradiction to a mitzvah deraisa, a mitzvah derabon, there are minig hamukubal all over, then there is no din of Kibbut Av. Let's say tomorrow is Bahab. So how many people are fasting Bahab? You can count on the fingers on a half hand. A lot of people saying the slich, hardly anybody saying, oh, let's say Yom Kippur Kotel. How many people are fasting? Some people say slich, hardly anybody is fasting. The son decides he wants to fast Bahab. And the father is being honored. Whatever, the annual dinner, the honoring the father. He wants his son to sit there and eat with him. And the son's going to sit there and not eat. They're going to think that the son thinks that it's not kosher or something. The son holds that it's kosher, but he does want to eat because it's bahab. So if it's a minig that not everybody observes, so then he should observe Kibbut Av. You don't say that the Kibbut Av is in conflict with the minig. You should observe the Kibbut Av there. But saying Kaddish after a parent dies, that's a universal minig. Everybody says Kaddish. So that's one reason why the Kibbut Av doesn't apply if the son wants to marry a girl and the parents are not happy.
Why doesn't his Bahab Tainios have a bit of an eder?
If he took an eder, no. He wants to take an eder to fast on Bahab. The father tells him, I don't want you to take that eder. I want you to...
If he masses three times on Bahab, would he be able to just not do it this time?
No, then it'll have to be a matan eder. Okay, I'll have to figure out how to get ahead. No, but it does have a din of an eder. If you observe a minig toiv, sometimes it becomes binding mid the rabbanim itam neder. Minig is binding mid the rabbanim itam neder. So that's one reason. Then we give another reason, that Kibbut Av only applies if the parents ask something to service them. Let's say the father says on Shabbos, the father says on the weekday, I'd like to have a cup of coffee. So the father wants a cup of coffee. So that's servicing the father. So then if it's on Shabbos, the father says, give me a cup of coffee, I can't do it because they're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. What if the father says to the son, I want you to be Mechal Shabbos. Do some aloha. So for that, you don't need a pasuk. That's what the Rishonim say in Yevamos Davov. You don't need a pasuk. That's not called Kibbut Av. The father tells his son, I want you to stand on your head. How does that service the father? Kibbut Av is only if the father asks for service. See, the father's telling the son how he should lead his life. I don't want you to marry that girl. I want you to marry this girl. The father tells me, I want you to go to medical school. I don't want you to go for smicha. I have a right to lead the life the way I want. The father tells me, I want you to marry this girl, live in this community, do this for a living. That's not Kibbut Av. He's going to tell me how to run my life. That's not Kibbut Av. So many, many Rishonim say like that. There's no din of Kibbut Av in such a situation. to be obedient to the parents. That's not kibbutz av. Some achrayim say maybe it's not kibbutz av, but it should be moira av, and asoser as devarav. The father wants him to do like this, and he's not going to listen, so maybe being disobedient is a violation of moira. But the Vilna Gaon quotes that that's a separate reason that exists independently, that the din of kibbutz av only applies if the father is asking that he for some kind of service. The father would be interested in the child servicing him. But the father's going to say, how to lead your life, whom you should marry, that's not really kibbutz av.
We shall bear an expense for the son. It's an emotional expense.
Emotional.
Monetary
expense. Oh, that's what he means, yeah. Okay, so where are we? We're on the top. Okay, we're on the top of Amud Beis Hamanav. Okay, tomorrow we'll continue B'lei Neder. Tomorrow is a regular day. When is a special day?
Tuesday.
Okay.
Tuesday.
Oh,
it's on Sunday schedule, I believe.
We have to start Chazara one of these days.
The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says that it's we shouldn't want Galad Amos without Galad Amos. It's a dinner or a minute.
Minute. I mean, it's Chazidus. He recommends it.